The Coca-Cola Company brings you Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy. Sunday night, and time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy. Mortimer Snerd and Ray Noble and his orchestra brought to you, transcribed by the Coca-Cola Company. Tonight, our special guests are the all-time favorites of popular song, The Mills Brothers. And now, Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
No, please. It gives me a false sense of security. Ah, me, ah, me.
Oh, what's the trouble, Charlie?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, it's school again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've got a history test tomorrow, and I'm sure to flunk it on account of illness.
There's nothing wrong with you, Charlie.
No, I know. But the fella I usually copy from is home with the mumps.
Who has the mumps?
Skyler Van Snort has them. Now, wait a minute. If Skyler can have mumps, why can't I? I got a bag of marbles right here somewhere.
Darling,
Surely
you don't plan to stuff marbles in your cheeks to deceive Edgar into believing you have mumps so you can stay home from school and avoid the history test. Do you?
Well, that sets the plot, yes. Here comes Berg in now. Quick, watching the marbles. You better run along, Bill. These marbles may be catching you.
Okay. Hello, Charlie. Charlie, look at your face. Your cheeks are all puffed out.
Well, they should be. I've been bitten by a mump.
You've been bitten by a mump. Well, that's strange. You don't act sick.
How careless of me.
Perhaps I can help you. I know something about medicine. I can give you a perfunctory examination.
Well, you're wasting your time, Bundo. There's nothing wrong with my perfunctory.
I know. Give me the details of what brought all this on.
The what?
You know, the history.
Yeah. That's a boy. All right.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold still there. I thought I saw one of your mumps move.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I got galloping mumps.
Galloping mumps.
That's the worst kind.
I see.
Well, last night I kept seeing black spots and white spots.
Black spots and white spots?
Yeah.
Did you see a doctor?
No, just black spots and white spots.
Well, how do you feel now, Charlie? Are you nauseous?
Well, no.
Oh, how do, Seth? Fit Pip and all that?
Now I am, and I...
Oh, boy, what are you all puffed up about?
Well, I'm as sick as a dog, Ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How fortunate. I know a frightfully good veterinarian.
Somewhere.
Yes, here, girl, boy. Charlie's acting rather strange, isn't he? I mean, I don't think he's got all his marbles.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Charlie has mumps, Ray.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, as a matter of fact, I had the mumps once myself.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I didn't care whether I lived or died.
Well, which did you finally decide on?
Come on, buck up, old boy. You'll pull through.
Don't quit slapping me on the back. I lost all my mumps now. My mom.
Charlie, what are those things you coughed up?
Adenoids?
No.
Would you set up a dog song?
No, I wouldn't. Well, you tried to fool me, didn't you? The marbles are right there on the floor, six of them.
Only six? Help, call a doctor.
What? Your mumps are gone.
No, they aren't. I swallowed four of them.
Thank you.
Barry Noble takes the spotlight to bring us Charmaine.
Hello, Mortimer. Oh, hello, buddy.
I didn't know you were around, all right.
Tell me, what's new down on the farm?
Well, now, let's see, now. Oh, let's see. You sort of caught me off my guard on that one.
Yeah, the spring rains washed out the mountain road, you know.
Oh, yes, a mess now. I see.
Well, that's dangerous. People might fall off. You should put a sign up.
Yeah, I did.
I see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did, but nobody fell off, so I took it down.
Well, that makes sense. But what else is new?
Well, Grandpa Snurd gave me this money to buy a mule from Farmer Abercrombie.
Oh, buy a mule?
Yeah.
That's quite a roll of bills there. Are mules very dear?
Well, now I'll tell you, some of them are just darling. Is that right?
I hope that you will drive a shrewd bargain.
Well,
yes.
I was rather hoping on driving a mule.
Well, yeah. I have an idea.
You do?
Good, yes. Let's rehearse your sales approach right now.
All right.
Yes. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be the man who owns the mule.
Oh, that's good, yeah. And I'll be the mule.
No. What? No, you just be yourself.
Oh, shucks. I always get the punk part of it, yeah.
All right, now, I'm Farmer Abercrombie, and what do you say to me?
Oh, gosh, Mr. Abercrombie, what happened to your nice bushy hair?
No. Just start out by talking about, just talk about the weather.
Yeah.
Yes, and then lead up to the mule.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I got it. Hi there, Farmer Abercrombie. Nice weather. Nice weather for mules, ain't it?
Yeah. Don't appear too anxious.
No, I won't. No. Howdy, I hear you got a mule for sale. Well, you can keep it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, enough of this small talk. I'll take it.
You take it. Which mule do you want, Mr. Snurd? I have one for $75 and I have one for $100.
Well, let me see now. That's an interesting proposition you got there. Got a lot of merchandise on hand there, eh? Yeah.
Come on now, Mr. Shirt.
Do you want the one for $25 or the one...
I thought it was $75. I'll take the $25. No, no,
I... I meant $75.
Maybe you better sit up here.
No, no. You want the one for $75 or the one for $100?
Well, which one is cheaper?
Bird, you're so gullible, I am moved to pity.
Well, wait till I get a mule. I'll haul your stuff over there.
Yes, this is Maureen. I called to say we'd be a little late. We had a flat. Oh, we won't be long. We're at a service station now.
We won't be long. We're at a service station. Yes, it's the same story everywhere. The man or woman on the highway always has a mighty fine friend in the nearest service station. And even though the service station is often taken for granted, like fresh air, running water, and the telephone, it's certainly one of the really wonderful things of modern life. Yes, and the service station is well named, for it offers 101 services, some more important than others, but every service designed to add pleasure to your journey. And as almost everyone knows, while the attendant refreshes your car, you can step up, stretch your legs, and have a Coke. Yes, enjoy the pause that refreshes with ice-cold Coca-Cola. Then, go on your way. Refresh.
There are some artists of the entertainment world you just can't say enough nice things about. Our guests tonight are such, mainly because all the nice things have already been said. So I can only add, they are always welcome on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mills Brothers.
Now won't you come along with me down the Mississippi? We'll take a boat to the land of dreams, steam down the river down to New Orleans. Oh, the band that you made us. Mommy, blue.
Mills Brothers solid satin underwear was real gone.
Charlie?
Oh, wait a minute. I'll get my hat and go with it.
No, no, no. No, you don't, young man. Are these your binoculars?
Yes, they are, sir. I use them for window shopping.
Window shopping?
Yeah. Of course, the windows are across the street.
I see. Well, this fits in with the complaint I've had from our new neighbor, the French actress who just moved in.
Oh?
Yes. She tells me that somebody keeps staring at her every time she suns herself by her pool.
Well, you can't blame a fellow, really. That bathing suit is, well, it's just,
Well, that is neither here nor there.
Oh, you've seen her in it.
No. According to her story, the guilty party is you.
Rumors. That's just the trouble with this world. Nobody waits to hear both sides of the story. History is full of such cases.
What cases?
There's a story of Red Riding Hood and the Wolf. Did anybody ever hear the wolf side of the story?
No. He had one.
He had a dilly.
Yeah.
And sit tight, because you're going to hear his version of what really happened. I am the wolf. Right now, they are operating on me to remove one grandmother. But I'm innocent. I never ate any grandmother. Of course, with the price of meat nowadays, I was tempted. Let me tell you the story from the beginning. Little Red Riding Hood was on her way to her grandmother's house, and there I was, lying under a tree when she sashayed up there, and in her strapless, backless riding hood.
Ah, hello, you great, big, gorgeous wolf.
Yeah, stand back, lady. You're singeing my fur.
Oh, come on, handsome. Let's sit down here on this log.
Well, I'll go along with that, yes. Lady, you smell kind of pretty.
Oh, is this perfume I'm wearing called Amour Toujours?
Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, what's that you're wearing?
Oh, I smell too, yes. It's gopher hole number 5. I was there.
Wolfie. I'm sitting on one end of this log, and you're sitting on the other.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't it give you any ideas?
Yeah. You want to play seesaw?
Oh, Wolfie, why are you so afraid of girls?
Well, now you take my brother. He met a pretty girl and put his arms around her, and she screamed, and before he knew it...
Yes?
Skin died and passing for a mink.
Well, do me a favor, If you drop this basket off at my grandmother's, I'll give you a great big kiss.
Yeah, well, I'll do it, but forget the kiss. You can see this is just a fairy tale. Well, I took the basket because I got a soft heart, and I figured I was helping a sweet old lady. When I got to that gray-haired old grandma's, the first thing she said when she saw me was,
"Wow, a man!"
And I'm a wolf.
Oh, that's the best kind.
Stop bleeding down my back, Grandma. You're bagging out my socks. Put me down and act your age.
My, it was sweet of you to bring our poor old grandma food. Because I can't do any cooking, you know. You see, I hurt my hand.
What did you do to it?
I scratched my knuckles trying to make an ace the hard way.
Oh, poor old granny, poor girl. I'll put the food over here, and I'll cover it with your racing form.
Oh, my goodness, look, it's 10 o'clock. I just got time to run down to the local dance hall. I'm entered in the samba contest.
Dancing the samba, jury? Oh, Grandma, how are you going to wind up?
I'm already wound up. Now I'm ready to let go. Nailed down the wind, Sonny. I'm blowing the top tonight.
Come back, Grandma. What will your granddaughter say if she finds out?
Dear, she mustn't. Now, woman, you got a cover for this.
Yeah.
Here, put on my lace cap, my bed jacket, and hold down the fort for me. So long. It's a long time up from the date of December.
It is a real day, John.
But I ain't too old, because I still remember. Yahoo!
the truth, so help me. There I was in a lace cap and a bed jacket, doubling for Grandma. I had just gotten under the covers when...
Grandma, Grandma, it's I, Little Red Riding Hood.
Wow, I'm in a spot now. I gotta be Grandma. Come in.
Grandma, are you having trouble with your voice?
No. Birkin is, you know.
Why, Grandma, your feet are sticking out of the covers. And they look so furry.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yes, woolen booties, Shirley.
Booties?
Yes.
But there are long claws on them.
Well, those are needles. I'm still knitting them.
Wait a minute. You're not my grandma.
Yes.
You're the wolf.
No.
You ain't grandma.
No.
Elsie ain't my grandmother.
No.
Grandmother eater.
No.
Grandmother eater.
Good evening. I'm Jack Kirkwood, your local grandmother protector. Has this wolf here been munching on people burgers again?
Yes, he swallowed my grandmother.
In such awful manner, Wolfie. Didn't anyone ever tell you you shouldn't gulp your food? I think I'll have to take my axe and operate.
Well, you won't find Grandma in my stomach.
Well, maybe I won't, but we just have to take potluck. Miss, you help me with the operation. I'll stand him on his head.
Ooh.
There.
Oh.
I'll grab one of his legs, like this, and you grab the other.
What do I do now?
Make a wish.
I tell you, I'm innocent. Please take an x-ray.
No, I'll do that afterwards. Then I can check and see what instruments I left inside of you. Oh, I was working down by the liver.
You always leave your instrument inside the patient?
Oh, yes. Much cheaper than renting a locker. Well, here we go. I'll be sawing you in all the old familiar places.
Hey, what's going on here?
Why, it's Grandma.
It's easy. I'm innocent. Get my lawyer. The world is going to know the truth.
No, Wolfie, you can't do that. Your secret must die in this room.
Why?
You want to ruin the number one whodunit for all those kids?
Yeah.
Now the Wolf Brothers again. This time with their sensational favorite, You Always Hurt the One You Love.
You.
Ladies and gentlemen, Edgar Bergen and Charlie made a flying trip to Washington to receive a citation from the Secretary of the Air Force.
Yes, I'll never forget it, Bill.
It was very impressive.
You know, Bergen, for the first time, I was proud of you when the agent General Vandenberg read that citation.
I wish I could have heard it.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because we made a recording of the ceremony. You can hear it now. Listen.
The Secretary of the Air Force has awarded the Air Force School of Appreciation to Mr. Edgar Bergen for outstanding service in which he distinguished himself by his tireless and unselfish efforts to boost the morale of hospitalized service nurses. Before Christmas in 1951, Mr. Bergen devoted a good portion of several of his Sunday night CBS network radio programs to encourage the people of America to send him gifts, which he will deliver personally to patients confined during the Christmas season. Mr. Bergen and a group of entertainers then sacrificed their time and pleasure by making 3 long trips to distribute these gifts to the patients in 20 service hospitals from Los Angeles to Seattle and from Washington, D.C. to Florida. The selfless efforts of Mr. Bergen are greatly admired and appreciated by the Department of the Air Force.
Thank you, General Vandenberg. It was the United States Air Force personnel and equipment that made it possible. Now, Charlie, don't you want to thank the General?
Thank you, General. And I want you to know that I have decided my future is with the Air Force. Are there any good vacancies?
Well, Charlie, what experience have you had?
Well, last night... you mean in the Air Force, sir. General, I broke the altitude record in a Cub, sir. I flew 20,000 feet.
How high?
I went so high, I went so high, I ran out of gravity, sir.
Well, how'd you get down?
That's a very good question. Well, I'll tell you, sir, I got out on the wings and I stamped it down, sir. I'd like to tell you more about it, but I'm double parked.
Charlie, I think you've learned to hop in one of our B-36s.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's the big job, isn't it? Tell me, how long is that B-36?
Well, when the middle field touches the ground, the tail is still searching the field.
General, you're now getting over into my department. I'll quit. Thank you.
Edgar Bergen will be back in a moment. But in the meantime, remember, folks, whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you may be, when you think of refreshment, think of Coca-Cola. For Coca-Cola makes any pause the pause that refreshes. And ice-cold Coca-Cola is everywhere. And now, here's Edgar Bergen.
I would like to thank the Mills Brothers for the wonderful music they made for us tonight. Next week, we will broadcast from the United States Naval Training Center at San Diego, California. Our guest will be one of the screen's loveliest and most exciting personalities, Miss Ginger Rogers. So until next Sunday, then, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Paulie McCarthy, brought to you by the Coca-Cola Company every Sunday. Be sure to listen to the Mario Lanza Show this coming Friday evening on another network. Consult your newspaper for time and station. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Elvia Allman, Jack Kirkwood, and Viola Bynd was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Frank Hill, Jr. This is Bill Baldwin reminding you that Sunday is Sunday on CBS.
This is the CBS Radio Network.